And then recall your motivation, and let's place what we're about to do with a remembered, with a big mind, an expansive mind that remembers the kindness of all sentient beings, has the wish to repay that kindness, and is dedicated to attaining full awakening in order to do so. You want me to ask you a question?
First question was to clarify for people that a lot of people don't seem to feel comfortable with this sadhana. Just my observation. So I wanted just to ask this question so people are aware that when you do the mantra count, it says Namo Guruvyo, I take refuge in the spiritual mentor.
Yeah.
To just say the first part. Don't say that whole phrase.
What? Yeah. If you're doing, if you're accumulating the ones relating to the guru, then you just say Namo Guruvyo, Namo Guruvyo, Namo Guruvyo. But then sometime during the whole sadhana, I mean during the whole practice, either at the very beginning or at the very end, then you say a few times Namo Guruvyo, Namo Buddhaya, Namo Dharmaya, Namo Sanghaya. Probably better to do that at the very beginning, yeah, a few times, and then focus on the one that you're accumulating.
So my question was, could you give us some context on kind of like why you chose this retreat now? Context on, you chose to do this Nundro retreat, so maybe there's some context you want to give the group about.
Well, some context for the retreat. First of all, I think doing Nundro is very good for people. I mean, the practices, they really make you think. They make you be continuous in your effort to complete something so that you're not sporadic one day on, one day off. They can sometimes make a lot of doubt arise, and I don't see the arising of doubt as something awful because it gives you the chance to question things and look deeper. Here I'm talking about the doubt that is curiosity. I'm not talking about cynical, skeptical doubt, which that one's totally useless, but the one that, you know, wants to understand deeper, you know, because sometimes you're doing 100,000 of these. Like when I was doing water bowls, you know, and pour the water in, take it up, pour the water in, take it up. Why am I doing this? Yeah? What difference does this make to the whole universe that I'm pouring water? So it was very good because it made me look and, okay, what is my motivation here? What am I supposed to be visualizing? What is this practice designed at? Trying to get me to feel and to have a sense of generosity and connection with the three jewels, connection with sentient beings. So, you know, that kind of questioning makes you go deeper in your practice. And I think my idea was refuge combined with Lam Rim, because people, Lam Rim is really our basic practice, and I think the more I'm around, the more I really see how important cultivating the basic Buddhist worldview is, and that sometimes people very quickly jump into visualizing themselves as something else, but they're not quite in touch with what they are and what the basic Buddhist worldview is. And so, you know, the refuge is what establishes us as Buddhists, and then doing Lam Rim makes us have the Buddhist worldview. And then once we have that worldview, it really changes how we look at life, it changes our priorities, it changes our decisions and our choices. And I think that that's very, very helpful for people. Yeah, myself included. Yeah. Does that make some sense?
It makes total sense, thank you.
Okay.
Meditation to be doing to kind of structure the different 5 or 4 sessions with another meditation on a particular topic in each session. So in the morning to do a person reading.
Could you speak a little bit louder?
In the morning, I was thinking of to work with particular lamrim topics that I feel most pertinent to what I'm trying to work with, and making that stable across each day. So session one, I have precious human rebirth. Session two, death. And have it kind of set, picking out like the 5 topics and just working through them throughout the
retreat. Okay, so how to organize the lamrim sessions, basically. I think that's going to depend quite a bit on the person. Some people like to have everything nicely organized, and some people are a little bit more, you know, kind of flexible. So it really, I think, depends on you. So some people like, okay, every morning, first session, precious human rebirth, second session, death, and, you know, so if you feel comfortable setting it up like that, that's fine. If you're the kind of person that you feel better just cycling through the different things, that's fine. I think it's good to make sure that you do at some point cycle through everything and do the different meditations. When specific afflictions are coming up, and they're coming up strong, then you need to choose whichever lamrim meditation or thought training meditation is most appropriate for to deal with that particular affliction. Yeah. So if you're feeling discouraged and confused, that's not the time to meditate on death. Okay. Don't meditate on death that time. What do you need to do if you're feeling discouraged and confused? Precious human life, something about Buddha nature, maybe something about emptiness. Yeah, the kindness of other sentient beings. You know, how related we are and connected we are to other sentient beings. So you have to basically learn how to become a doctor to your own mind. And according to what afflictions or problems arise in your mind, to be able to select the appropriate, you know, meditation for that. Of course, it's good to be familiar with all the meditations before you have the problem. Yeah? Okay, it's like, you know, you learn how to drive before you take the driver's test. You learn how to type before you take it as a typing, you know, a speed typing test, okay? So I personally think that a lot of the meditations and the thought training practices, like 7-point training of the mind, mind training like rays of the sun, the 8 verses, the 37 practices, these kind of thought training practices are extremely good and very appropriate for our mind, you know? So, because what's going to come up in the middle of it is, you know, kind of, oh, nobody likes me, everybody hates me. I don't think anybody on this whole retreat, they don't smile at me, they don't look at me. This is the whole thing of my whole life. Okay, so what do you need to meditate on as an antidote for that?
The
kindness of others. Okay, what else?
Emptiness.
Yeah. Okay. What verses from the 37 practices are you going to use? What verses from the 8 verses are you going to use? Yeah. When someone criticizes me throughout the 3,000 realms.
Return with a loving mind.
Yeah. Do you see how here was a practical situation? None of you could come up with a thought training meditation. That's a weakness in your practice. Yeah? when you have different situations come up. I mean, we're not studying these thought training things just because they're kind of weird, yeah, but because they actually were to apply them, and they work when we apply them. And at first, it seems very weird, like, you know, I'm supposed to see this person as my kind teacher when they just blasted me, yeah, and ruined my reputation. Well, yes. Well, why? Why do I see them as kind?
They're showing me my attachment to my reputation.
Yeah. They're showing me my attachment to my reputation. What effect does attachment to reputation have on my life?
Just pulls you by the nose.
Yeah. It's a ring through our nose that pulls us around.
It puts me in trouble, really.
Yeah. It causes us so much trouble. We become phonies to impress other people.
We disconnect from them.
Yeah.
I do that a lot. I disconnect from them.
Yep. Exactly. We back away. So we start to look at how our own attachment to reputation makes us miserable and how inaccurate that thought is. And what good does a good reputation do you anyway? Yeah. Does it get you a good rebirth? No. Does it get you liberation or awakening? No.
We have no control over our reputation. Because reputation is our imagination of what other people are imagining.
Exactly. Exactly. So why are we so, you know, like wigged out about our reputation? So yes, we can see this person as kind because they're pointing out to us something that's been a big problem for us our whole life. And now we have the opportunity to deal with it. Okay? So you have to see which thought training meditation works and then start questioning that particular attachment. Or if you have a particular aversion to something, start questioning it. How has this worked throughout my whole life and held me back?
Also, the practice of forgiveness.
Yeah. Very much. Forgiving ourselves, forgiving others. Okay? So we have to know, you know, it's good to do these meditations. Take out the 37 verses or the, you know, all these thought training texts. And as you meditate on each one, think of specific examples from your life. And practice in relationship to those things that already happened in your life. And that way you get some familiarity with the meditations. They start to really affect how your mind is working. And then because you have that familiarity, remember when she was talking about the five powers, familiarity was important. Then when you have a problem, you know what to think about and how, you know, how to work with your own mind. Yeah.
The teachings on it were taught in a way more because the text was written for a meditative guide.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a nice text in that way.
Can you say that again? Was that text on the information that was given?
No.
No, there was just audio.
On the web page it says to download the text.
Yeah. On the website?
Yeah, on the website it says to download the text. But it wasn't an email.
So. Yeah, it would be nice for people to have that text because it's helpful.
Yeah.
I can find one.
So the you know, the outline of the longer text, Karen. Well, anyway, there's an outline, and you know, I can envision kind of going through that, or if there's something specific, going to that specifically. But then the easy path, you know, that's another whole text there,
yeah.
And I just was wondering would there be some confusion or?
No, you know, the Lam Rim outline that you have, it starts with some topics that I think are good for people to meditate before they plunge into the Lam Rim, because most of us were not Buddhists. Yeah, and the Lam Rim is constructed actually for somebody who's already a Buddhist. So some of those early things, like the mind, is that, yeah.
Well, there's like Monzoku's 9-point death meditation.
Right. Yeah, that's not. It's from that. It's actually Jason, from the Lam Rim Chenmo.
Okay.
But in any case, you know, there's a certain, most of the Lam Rim outline follows a certain series. Mm-hmm. The easy path follows that same series of meditations. And the outline is just to help you at the beginning when you're learning how to do the Lam Rim meditations. You know, think about this point, then think about this point, then this is the conclusion you want to reach. Yeah. But the idea is that then afterwards, as you're studying something else or listening to other teachings, then you start to write your own outlines. Yeah? And your own outlines are basically more detailed description than the outline, the outline in guided meditations. Yeah? There's just more detail because you can't put everything into that. That one book would have become too long, okay? So you know, like the teachings we were just having about the non-virtues and the different parts, the four parts of the action that make something non-virtuous virtuous, then when, you know, you're meditating on karma, that whole thing isn't written out in the Lam Rim thing, but you received oral teachings on it, the outline is in a text that you're reading, so then you meditate on that yourself, and then you especially use examples of when you've killed different beings or when you've seen other people kill, and you go through those points and see, you know, where they're complete actions, where they're not complete actions, and so on. Okay? The chief thing with the Lam Rim that's very important is to apply it to your own life and to make examples from your own life and from what you've seen in the world. So and then you also have to be very clear with the Lam Rim meditation of what the conclusion is. Yeah? Because sometimes we don't meditate correctly and we come to the wrong conclusion and then we get confused. So for example, when we're thinking about the disadvantages of the self-centered thought, if at the end you come up with, oh, I'm such a lousy person because I'm so self-centered, that's the wrong conclusion. The conclusion you should come up with is my self-centered thought has caused me so much pain in my life. It's obstructed my spiritual path. It's inhibited me from fulfilling all my deeply heartfelt goals. So I want to, you know, counteract this self-centered thought because it's the real thing that is my enemy, not other sentient beings. Okay. So you have to make sure that you come up with the correct conclusion. So make sure, you know, when you're doing that, that you check the outline and you see what the conclusion is. And similarly, you know, like if you're meditating, I use this example with karma, and you're going through, let's say, killing. You're going through lying, you know, and chances are we've lied more than we've killed. Yeah. Or how about harsh speech? You know, that one, experts at. So you go through, you know, the four points with that. You look at your own speech. You start to evaluate it. We'll soon get into the section about what makes karma powerful, what makes it weaker. Then you start evaluating your own speech. And, you know, what were harsh speech that I said that was really strong to others? Now, what's going on in my mind when I'm speaking like that? How can I get rid of the anger in my mind that, you know, is making me want to hurt somebody else's feelings? So it opens up a whole door to really look at what's going on in yourself. Yeah? And when you start to look, okay, what, you know, what's this anger in me that takes delight of putting other people down, you know, then you're going to start a whole meditation on the antidotes to anger. Yeah. But you're also going to have to look at, okay, when I put other people down, you know, something in my self-centered thought gets a boost out of that. What is it? Well, when I put other people down, then I feel more powerful. Yeah, that could be one thing. Yeah, everybody may have different things. It's a power mechanism for me. When I don't feel secure in myself, I put somebody else down, then I feel powerful and I feel in control. And then you go, is that the kind of power I really want to have? Yeah, do I want to be powerful in putting people down, or do I want to be powerful in virtuous speech and kind speech and being able to encourage people to do things that are wonderful? How do I really want to be powerful? Okay. And what kind of power is putting somebody else down actually giving me? Nothing. That don't give us any power, does it?
Gives you karma.
Huh? Yeah, exactly. It gives you a lot of negative karma. Yeah? So you see the questioning process and how we start looking at ourselves and applying the teachings to our own life situation? Yeah. So this is what you want to do, and this is how the Lamrim and the thought training really come alive for you.
Mm-hmm. Is it fairly fluid, the amount of time in each session that we spend outside and out of versus long?
I think you can adjudicate that as how you feel.
Any guidelines?
It's really organic.
Half-half. I'll say half-half. Then you have something that you can push against and make a decision.
So, you start the session with the mantras. Correct?
You start the session visualizing.
And
setting up, you know, why do I want to take refuge? What's the importance of taking refuge? And what am I purifying regarding each one? So you try and remember what you're doing before you say the mantras.
And then you go to
Uh-huh.
And then you go to the long rim.
Yes.
And then, so I guess my question is, during this part on the bodhicitta, would you say any mantra,
no.
In between, or just be done?
No, there you
have a feeling of completion at that point and then move on to the next.
Yeah, there's no mantra to say when you're generating bodhicitta. Yeah.
No pause and just...
You think about it and do the visualization. And some days you get into the visualization and you're doing the visualization for 20 minutes. And other days, you know, you do the visualization maybe for 2 minutes. So with all these things, you don't... The nice thing I think about the way we do practice is you can do it quickly, you can do it in a prolonged way. Yeah? So some days, you know... With the refuge visualization, bam, you just bring it into your mind, everything's there, and you go right into doing the purification and receiving blessings. Other days, you may want to really take more time and visualize the Buddha and think about the Buddha looking at you with kindness and think about all the sentient beings, and you're going to lead Ted Cruz and Donald Trump and taking refuge and generating bodhicitta. And so you get really into that. And then, you know, the visualization takes more time. So, you know, because our minds aren't in the same mood every single day, so you can make things more compact or more expansive as fits you on any particular day. You keep the structure the same, yeah? But, you know, it's not like cookie cutter. Okay, for 2 minutes and 45 seconds, I have to, you know, construct the visualization. Then for 10 minutes and 2 seconds, I say the mantra. Then, you know, for 5 minutes and 57 seconds, I, you know, generate bodhicitta. No.
It might work if you're an engineer.
I was wondering how I'm going to keep track of that time.
Oh, well, then you have your tablet and you do a, you know, thing, and then it vibrates, you know? So the whole room vibrates, and everybody knows now Frank is generating bodhicitta.
Actually, if you keep track of me, when I'm down like this, I'm actually prostrating to you all.
Okay.
You'll know where I am, okay?
Okay.
Uh-huh. Yesterday, you talked about the refuge, the Buddha, a larger throne, the Maitreya, the Jushi, our guru, who is in the back?
Oh, there you have Vajradhara and the, yeah, a lot of the tantric lineages. You can put them there.
Mm-hmm. There are many nudras, and I wonder if you would prefer that we just stay with the refuge nudra during this first month, or is it possible to introduce other nudras?
Yeah, I think, you know, if you've done refuge nudra before, and let's say you want to do guru yoga, go right ahead. You know, that's not going to create any problem. Pardon me?
What about
I think that you do in your break time.
Oh, okay.
Okay? Yeah, because for the first month, everybody's going to be in the hall for 5 sessions together. Yeah, so you do it in your break time. And then after that, in the second and third month, and there's more the possibility, you can go to another room and do mandala offerings yourself.
And are there teachings on, for instance, mandala offerings?
I think we have... I gave teachings at DFF about it sometime, yeah. And then we have some Lama's Opus booklet, too.
But there is much.
There what?
There, we do have those from back then, but there's not much there. It's not something that's been a lot of time.
Yeah. I mean, what else? What is there to say? You learn the symbolism of the things, and you generate a feeling of giving. Yeah. So I don't think the teachings are so much about, you know, again, what color are the minister's robes that we're offering? You know, you can also think of what Rob Priest rewrote. Remember, I read his revised mandala. That's more the way we want to think, you know, of just everything we have, that just this feeling of giving and giving and giving, and I don't have anything and I'm not clinging to anything. Yeah. So, but there are teachings on it we have in the library and online. So.
And I know several people have asked about doing commitments during these sessions.
And, better to do your commitments outside the sessions. Yeah? If you're really having a hard time with it, and you know, you're just too exhausted.
Questions. Hearing Kachin Yishu Kyatsen's kind of outline says, those meditate on the method for engaging the path of result of bodhicitta and basic mind and meditative.
I'm sorry, you have to speak slower for me. Okay.
Okay, it's not German. He says, those meditate on the method for engaging in the path of resultant bodhicitta. And place your mind in meditative equipoise for a moment.
Yes.
I always have difficulties placing my mind. I don't know how to do it at the moment.
I can't even pronounce it.
Yeah. Well, it's just one moment. Of course, he doesn't tell you how long a moment is. But you know what I think of? It's so often, like when His Holiness wants us to meditate on something in the middle of a teaching, he'll say, okay, for 1 minute, let's concentrate on this. And you have the feeling of, okay, for 1 minute, I am just putting my mind completely on this, nothing else. So he does it in like this short, sweet, very focused way. Not like, well, for 5 minutes, I'll meditate on aspiring bodhicitta. I'm really hungry today. Yeah, I guess there's lots of beings that are hungry and I aspire to get enlightened for their benefit. Meditative equipoise. You know? So instead of doing that, just, you know, just think for 1 minute. You don't have to have a timer on. Okay? But you just think for, you know, a period of time, I'm just going to completely just focus on that feeling of aspiring to become a Buddha for the benefit of sentient beings. And I'll hold that in my mind. Yeah? And then you go on.
If I could do that for a whole minute single-pointedly, I'd be really happy.
Yeah, I would be too.
Me too.
Yeah? But it's good, you know, if you start out with something short, sweet, and focused, I think it's much better for us than thinking, you know, I'm going to do it a long time and then, you know, our mind just wanders.
And do you have any advice for us during, outside the sessions? I mean, for example, people who have tantric commitments can be still do the self-generation during the day. Do we have to more focus on the something else, I don't know.
I'm not sure what the question is.
Yeah,
if you have other commitments, you do them.
You
can do them more quickly because you're doing retreat. Sometimes if you want to, people who have six-session guru yoga, if you want to do that at the beginning of your morning session, the beginning of your evening session, as a way that leads you into the refuge practice, which you can do with another visualization, you can do that because six session is really good. It leads you into everything. But your other commitments, you...
No, I thought maybe you can give us some advice. Maybe not everybody knows what to do in that beat, you know, what to think,
break
what to
break
visualize.
Break. Ask about the break time.
Break time.
Everybody's a Buddha.
Yeah, exactly. Break time. Okay, you go pee-pee. Especially you go pee-pee before every session. Yeah, it's very helpful. Train yourself. Okay,
like
then you won't have to go pee-pee during the session. Yeah. Take walks. You need to get some exercise, so take walks. If you can't walk, stand and look out the window long distances, you know. Do something, get some exercise, do yoga. You can go in what room do we have? The workroom and put, you know, a mat down.
The chapel that has the hardwood floor has yoga mats.
Yeah, and you can do some yoga in there, you can do Tai Chi. You know, if you're really nice and do three prostrations to Venerable Ho-Ho, she might teach you some Tai Chi, which people have found very helpful. Yeah, but don't tell her that I volunteered her. you know, I think it's important to move your body and stretch your mind. Do some reading, but don't sit there and gobble up all sorts of books. Just read a little, sit, you know, on the sofa, read a little bit, think about it, gaze off into space, apply it to your life, then read a little bit more, think about that. Okay. Yeah, if you have other practices, do your other practices. You can do them quickly. Yeah. Oh, right. Yeah, you can circumambulate in the garden.
And if it needs to be shoveled?
Yeah. Also, there's a larger circumambulation path, which is if you go around all the buildings here. Okay.
Just less than shoveled.
So that's what I recommend for break time. Or do you want to ask your question again if I didn't understand it?
I think I was meaning more, you know, how to hold your mind. I mean, if you share that to some extent, but
how to hold your mind? Whatever you meditated on. You see everything in the break time as in terms of whatever your meditation is. Yeah. Because if you just meditate on something in your session and then forget it in the break time, when you come back, your mind's going to be quite, you know, you have to kind of rebuild. So in the break time, if you could have continue to think about what you meditated on, yeah. But you have to do it in a gentle way, because sometimes you really need to look and long distances and not think about something. You need to really relax your mind. Yeah. So you have to learn to do what you need to do at a particular time, what works with your mind.
One of the things that has helped me around here is that on any given day, there's so much beauty here in the winter, rather than getting caught up in, oh, look at the snowflakes, look at that. It's just to keep making offerings to the tradition.
Yeah.
It really gladdens the mind.
Yep. Yep. Just look around and keep offering everything. Yeah.
I'm not sure I understood your question, but it spurred a question for me. If you have commitments, such as Chenmetsu or Manjushri, and then you have, you know, the refuge, and you're in your break time, are you, how do you kind of incorporate all of that?
Well, either you sit down and you do your commitments in the break time, or some of them, if they're just mantra, quick mantra commitments, you can do them when you're walking around. Yeah.
So if you're with the Chenmetsu, you know, it says envision yourself as generative during the day, then you're doing that. But
yeah, whatever kind of you're,
flow
you know.
Back and forth in between whatever is resonating right at that moment.
Say that again?
If you finish your commitment, finish your sadhana, your mantra, and then it says, the mantra says, envision yourself as Chenrezig throughout the day.
Day, yeah.
Or then envision yourself as Manjushri throughout
the day. Oh, that's fine.
You kind of like incorporate both and...
Well, this minute I'm Chenrezig and no, Manjushri's getting jealous. I better be Manjushri now. Sometimes it's better just to choose one and come back to that one throughout the day, imagining yourself as that particular Buddha. Yeah. Or sometimes you may just do Chenrezig and feel that strongly, so you maintain that, and then you do Manjushri, you know, at another time and you maintain that. These are things. Also, you know, when you have many, many commitments to do, then you don't need to sit down and do each one of them thoroughly, seriously, you know, taking a long time to make the visualization and everything. Yeah, you do refuge and bodhicitta once, and then, you know, you've do the visualization, you say your mantra, you say whatever other recitations there are. So you use that time to really, like I was saying, you can make your practice as long, you can make them concise. When you're doing retreat, you make all your other practices concise because you're doing them in the break time. Yeah, so you just do things quickly and focus in a focused way. Okay? Exactly.
It really makes a difference.
Yeah.
I think I was coming to a place of I've really broken my commitments on some of these practices. So when coming here, I was thinking about that. You know, so maybe in the break time, I'm wanting to kind of reconcentrate on those things in the break time also.
Yeah. You just have to make sure that you don't pressurize yourself too much. Yeah, but what you can do is do some purification when you're doing the refuge, you know, for those broken commitments.
Can you give us some kind of yom for the mantra?
Ah, okay. All I do is say it and you listen. Okay. Namo Guruvya, Namo Buddhaya, Namo Dharmaya, Namo Sanghaya, Namo Guruvya, Namo Buddhaya, Namo Dharmaya, Namo Sanghaya. Namo Guruvya, Namo Buddhaya, Namo Dharmaya, Namo Sanghaya. Done.
Thank you.
still getting familiar with the sadhana, so it looks like the focus is on purifying our relationship with the Triple Gem.
And on receiving their blessings.
Yes. Yeah, so the most, is it important to emphasize the purification part, or they're just more or less balanced?
Well, you see, some days it's important to do purification.
Yeah.
Yeah. And some days you're going to feel the purification part more, so you emphasize that. Other days you feel the receiving the blessing part more, you emphasize that. Other days you feel like contemplating what the three jewels are while you're saying the mantra is most important, so you do that.
Powers is reestablishing your relationship.
Uh-huh.
This is it, yes.
Yeah, how do you reestablish the relationship with the three jewels? Taking refuge in them. Yeah, so that's definitely one of the four opponent powers.
How should we work with anxiety around the numbers? We're feeling some anxiety because there's this instruction to do a nudra.
Okay, don't count.
Okay, but I mean, but there.
But I want to count because I want to finish the nudra and the numbers, but it's making me so anxious.
That's my question. If it's as easy as throwing it out the window, then.
Well, what's more important, that you complete the numbers or that you get anxious? I mean, or that you have a more relaxed mind. What's more important?
Right, have a relaxed mind.
Yeah.
But there must be a purpose for doing that.
Yeah, the purpose of the one lama, you do it 100,000 times because it gives you the opportunity to hopefully one time do it with full focus and feeling. So the purpose isn't just to blabber away, it's to give you. The numbers make you stay with something. That's the purpose of the numbers. It makes you stay with something. And when you stay with something, it gives you the opportunity to gain some experience. That's the purpose of the numbers. Yeah.
Thank you. That makes sense.
And there's also the engineering solution. Find out how long it takes you to do one mantra and then figure out how much time you can.
No, that doesn't work because you say it faster as you go on.
That's true.
Yeah?
You know, but I think, you know, when I do that calculation, whenever I'm going to do a lot of them, I realize that I have plenty of time, so I don't worry about it anymore.
Yeah, but some people realize they don't have plenty of time, and then that creates anxiety in them. So, you know, that.
Okay. Listen to the teacher.
Yeah. And also, with this kind of nindro, believe me, 3 months is more than enough time. And if you don't finish it in 3 months, you just keep doing it afterwards. There's nothing that, you know, unless your tablet starts going up in flames and says, you have no more time to do the nindro after this.
So, I have to stop. If that be done in the retreat time, it's fine to continue it.
Yeah.
But you have to do it
Okay. Yeah, it took you how long to do Vajrasana?
Almost 1 year.
Yeah.
I'm 2 years into my 6-session guru yoga, I'm still doing it.
Yeah.
It was good to see the hindrance. I think it was I was anxious about the number commitment, and then I was like, screw these commitments. I'm doing it. There was actually a lot of anger getting through. Enough.
Yeah.
My own time.
Yeah.
Don't do that.
Yeah. Yeah, but it's true. You get to see authority issues. You get to see perfection issues. You get to see, you know, commitment issues. The C word. The C word is no longer cancer. It's commitment. Commitment. Get me away.
Failure.
Failure, yeah.
If I don't do it, I'm a failure.
Then nobody loves me. for sure. Nobody loves me. They're going to pack up my bags and put me on the sled and push me down the hill. Okay, sleepiness does not mean that you necessarily need to sleep more at night. Yeah? It means that you need to get more exercise, you need to look more long distances. Before you start a session, go and do 35 Buddhas. That will wake you up. Put cold water on your face and your head. Don't bundle yourself up in blankets, you know, because if you're too warm, you're going to fall asleep. Visualize light coming in, you know, really focus on the visualization of light coming in you. Remember to keep your eyes a wee bit open. And getting angry is the best way not to fall asleep. It's very interesting, you know, you can be drowsy at one moment. And the moment if you think of somebody who did something you didn't like, you are wide awake. It's amazing how that happens. Yeah? Why do you think that is? Yeah? Namo Buddhaya, Namo Dharmaya, Namo Sanghaya. Oh, my brother, I'm so furious. My sister, my ex. My this, my that, I'm so wrong. Ted Cruz is driving me crazy. What happens if Donald Trump is on the ballot? What do we do? Ah, this country is falling apart. We're wide awake.
That's crazy.
Crazy. And some people may be going, why is she always talking bad about Donald Trump?
I wish she'd stop talking about him.
Yeah, he's actually quite good. He says it like it is, that he's the greatest one in the universe.
Cute. Sam Ten would like this. Every time I get in a political conversation, I tell the people, if Canada wasn't so cold, I'd move there.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just think, if he took and all that money he's spending on campaigning and gave it to poor kids, how would that be?
Yeah.
I used to get drowsy when I was first coming here. I'd get drowsy at teachings a lot. People told me that it had to do with karma. And so when doing the 35 Buddhas, I would think about purifying whatever I had done in the past that was disrespectful to the three gems and the teachings.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the guru. And it seemed to have gone away, mostly, knock on wood, I don't want to fall asleep next teaching because I said that.
Yeah.
It's helped a lot.
Yeah, the purification. Because that kind of drowsiness that just comes on, even though you've slept plenty, you know, is due to things like, you know, stepping on Dharma texts or, you know, disrespecting any of the three jewels or the symbols of the three jewels. So purification is going to definitely help with that. You have a story about that too, don't you?
Well, I mean, that's been my 19-year journey. And so I think that the Venerable Lo Sang, I absolutely concur. I was falling asleep. I would fall asleep at all the teachings. I would fall asleep at all the sessions. And so I made that a focus sign. Now I've brought it back. It's almost gone away 99% of the teachings, and I would say probably about 60 to 75% for the sessions. And any time, it comes in waves, cycles. And so I know that I'm getting careless again with holy objects, and I'm getting careless with the way that I hold myself as a member of the Sangha. And so I'll go ahead and do 35 Buddhas again for a number of times. And it's almost an immediate medication. I mean, it's an immediate treatment. I really feel the difference. But it's a horrible obstacle to have to your practice. It causes a lot of suffering, and it causes a lot of discouragement. So you really want to address it quickly.
Do you mean that gave me a lot of confidence that purification works?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah,
it gives you confidence. The thing is, what I've noticed is that people always ask for advice and then they follow about 2% of it. Yeah. So it's, you know, you have plenty of advice. You need to follow it. Yeah. There was one woman at DFF when we were there. She was very good about following. She would come and ask me a question. I'd give her advice. She'd go and do it. And then, you know, the thing cleared up. And then other people, every retreat they would come and ask me some version of more or less the same question. Yeah? And it's usually because they didn't follow the advice. By the way, you know, when I was saying yesterday, if people have trouble, it's fine to come and see me. If you're having trouble and you're restless, you're anxious, whatever, fine to come and drop me a note and come see me. Do not come and see me to complain about what somebody else is doing. Yeah, please do not do that. Because if you do, I'm going to turn it right back on you and say, what's going on in your mind? Because what can I do about somebody else? Yeah. The issue isn't somebody else. The issue is our own mind. Okay. Of course, if somebody's doing something dangerous, you see somebody else having some problem, out of compassion, say something. That's fine. Out of compassion, talk about somebody else. But please don't complain about anybody else. Okay? Because I have all these people, and all they do is come to me and complain. You know? I mean, I wish they'd give me a break. They complain about this, they complain about that. Why do I always get stuck with all these people that complain? Why can't I have some people?
Are you feeling frustrated because your need for ease and...
Yes! No, I'm feeling frustrated because all these people complain so much.
That's why they pay you the big bucks.
We're going to double your salary.
From zero to zero.
Zero plus.
Yeah, I get zero plus now. Anything else?
I just asked for the group again about restlessness. Maybe everybody is
aware of that. What are you talking about, Venerable Chop? Or maybe you're talking about the mind that's being restless? Oh, yes, okay. Let's see, after this meditation retreat, then, okay, that's April. Then, let's see, I'm going to study this in April. Then in May, I'm doing this. Then in June, let's say, oh, we have the young adult retreat. I want to be active in the young adult retreat. July, I think I'll go to get the teachings of Deer Park. August, let's see, we have EML. Then we have Pari Rinpoche. But maybe Pari Rinpoche comes in September. But Geshe Dorje Dadol is... Geshe Dadol is coming in September, and maybe also What's his name? Oh, yes, Geshe Thapke. He might come to me. Then, oh, one course back to back. I don't know if I can handle this. This is just too much. You know? I can't wait for next year's retreat when things are a little bit quieter. You know, because we've also got to work in the forest. You know, and try to enjoy SF, and she's going to put me out in the forest again. And, you know, and like she doesn't realize that I hurt all over my head, all over. You know, I'm 20 years old, but I'm already crippled until it comes to going to the discotheque. But I can go to the disco really good. Okay. Yeah, so you're talking about that?
And
what do you do for restlessness?
Yeah, what I was meaning more, the restlessness. You know, when you spoke about anger, for example, it makes you so alert. It also can make it healthy. Your mind is so busy with thinking about a situation that makes you annoyed and you don't catch it and you just go on and then you lose yourself completely. So that is also a very restless mind, and it makes you drowsy after a while because you're totally exhausted. So what I'm doing is, more and more now, first of all, I come back to my breath, and I'm taking walks during break time to just settle myself, to earth myself somehow. Yeah, breathing is very helpful, and then I'm more able to earth myself.
Yeah, and here's where these two mental factors are important in your meditation session and in the break time, to have mindfulness, so to know what your object that you're focusing on is and to put your mind there, and to have introspective awareness that is aware of what your mind's doing in the break time, what your body and speech are doing, and then bringing them back if they're off. Should we dedicate?
Yes.
Do
this merit, may we soon attain the awakened state of Guru Buddha, that we may be able to liberate all sentient beings from their suffering. May the precious Bodhi Mother.